I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The people behind Nikki are pro-amnesty. You like that? Pro-China, pro-open borders, pro-war, pro-deep state, and they're pro-Biden. Did you see where 50% of the people that voted for her in Iowa are going to vote for Biden? In other words, they're Democrats. They're voting. They're voting. Think of it. They're going to vote for Biden. They just had no choice, so they picked her. This is not what we want.
I have watched the entire political elite yesterday and today. I've watched the entire media elite yesterday and today say that I should drop out for the good of the country to support Donald Trump.
And what are the odds that's going to happen? Zip, zero. But what happens with New Hampshire today may not mean she drops out. She's kicked out. And after New Hampshire comes South Carolina, her own home state, which she probably will not win. She's not likely to come out a winner tonight. And yesterday we were telling you that even some of her supporters, Governor Sununu was saying, well, we're expecting her to get second place. Second place. That means behind Trump, because everybody else has walked away. Vivek Ramaswamy last week walked away and said, there are only two of us in this race that are really all about making America great, and I'm giving my support to Donald Trump. And, of course, behind that, you also had Senator Tim Scott over the weekend declare, I'm giving my support to Donald Trump. Tim Scott from South Carolina, Nikki Haley's state. And then, of course, Ron DeSantis declaring, there's no path forward for me. I'm going to step aside, and I am going to support Trump. We've had our differences, but it's time for us to come together. That's going to be a key point going forward, folks. Even those who are anti-Trump so much, they need to reconsider the future down the road. We're right back in the situation we were when Trump was running against Hillary Clinton. I warned listeners then, you don't like Trump, fine. But you got to ask yourself, have a real come-to-Jesus meeting. Do you really want Hillary Clinton leading the nation? Hillary Benghazi Clinton. And do you want her to have the authority to nominate not just federal judges, but justices to the Supreme Court? Of course, they still had to go through confirmation of the Senate. But the weight of a presidential nomination normally carries the day. And that became, in the minds of many, lesser two evils. I don't like Hillary, don't like Trump, but I like Trump better than I do Hillary. I don't care how you decide it. And by the way, some of the Florida support that Trump, or rather DeSantis says, I will give my voters my support, encourage them to support Donald Trump. Some of them not going easily. They're not going quietly into the night. You're already railing. One of them tweeted out yesterday, what happened to Ron DeSanctimonious? We're just supposed to forget that and move on? Let's stop and think for a second. In any sporting event you've ever seen, especially pro leagues, often players have served at some time on the same team, and they get traded. Maybe they went to college together, but now on opposite teams. Maybe there's been issues between them in the past, but when they're on the same team, trash talking stops, you pull together. Can I make a better analogy than that? If I need to, I will. I don't think I need to. I think this audience recognizes. If you didn't like Trump, if he wins tonight, which is pretty much going to happen, maybe the margin won't be as big as originally thought. Maybe Haley will actually get within 30 points of Trump. Keep in mind, Biden is not on the ticket. No, Biden's not on the ticket because of two things. One, the Democrat National Committee wanted to have the first primary for Democrats in South Carolina. They knew they could lock that up for them down there. They were pretty sure they might not carry New Hampshire, but there is a write-in campaign. So we'll see what that produces. Some votes have already been cast. Of course, it made public at midnight as this day began. I'll come to that in a moment. But first, let me set the stage. Glad to have you with us. Here we are again, Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, right here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. You can listen, and you can also watch streaming while we're on the air. The streaming video is at News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube. Larry Connors USA is at Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, no YouTube. They've not allowed us to get back on. As I said yesterday, they're still ticked off of an interview we did a couple years ago, Quentin, with Sidney Powell about Dominion voting. And we were supposedly spreading false and malicious stories. We're asking questions of someone who had an opinion. You're not allowed to do that with a state-controlled media and multi-complex of social media. But we're changing that, aren't we? All right, now back to New Hampshire and what's underway at this point. Voters in Dixville Notch always get prime focus because it's the first vote in the primary. Well, it wasn't, as it turned out, because Republicans went ahead and did Utah and Iowa, but here we had six voters in Dixville Knox. That's how important this is, as if this is going to be a gauge. Dixville Knox, the northern New Hampshire area, opened and closed its poll just after midnight this day. I mean, they opened, six people went out, and we closed it. We're done. Nobody else is going to be voting. Four of them were registered as Republicans and two independents. So no Democrats were voting. And yet, the answer when it came to the count, let me see, I wonder if they did a hand count, several hand counts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But count it again. 1, 2, come on. Their decision is clearly stated in the reaction of Nikki Haley. A great start to a great day in New Hampshire. Thank you, Dixville Notch. She got all six votes. Trump has got to be slumping around. Oh, my God, we've lost everything. Of course not. The neighboring cities of Hart's location in Millsfield actually began midnight voting earlier, but they haven't participated continuously. They're not conducting midnight voting this year. You know, there's a fictionalized version of the three neighbors featured in an episode of West Wing that was called Hartsfield Landing. I don't remember that, but someone brought it to my attention. I see it written here as well. Midnight voting in the Dixville Notch has historically been held at the now dormant Balsams Hotel, which has been the media event center for the years. The hotel's been closed, awaiting redevelopment. Questions about whether they'd have enough voters. Well, they did. They had six. Population's been dwindling. It's not a thriving metropolis. But political junkies always anxious, and I'm one of them. I'm addicted to politics, I admit, but I also look at this and laugh. In 2020, let me give you some background for this. In 2020, voters backed former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg in the Democratic primary. Yeah, they did. But then they went on to support the eventual winner in the general election, unanimously casting what they had at that time, five votes for Joe Biden. The town moderator, Tom Tillotson, his father was a resort owner, worked to get Dixville Notch incorporated specifically so they could vote and residents would not be forced to travel close to an hour away in the snow to participate in the elections. But he even cautioned against thinking the midnight results would be too instructive. He said, there's no magic bullet that comes out of here that tells people what to do or what's going to be happening. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. Well, that says it all right there. And yet Nikki Haley is out there crowing, a great start for a great day in New Hampshire. Wah, 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 what's going to happen later tonight? We'll be watching it, obviously, for you. The one thing Nikki Haley and Donald Trump can agree on, at least to an extent, is the border. Maybe not some of those dim supporters that have signed up behind Haley. Maybe they're all about still open borders. But they, Nikki and Trump, have said they need to close the border. Of course, we had a Supreme Court ruling yesterday on the razor wire on the Texas border, saying it had to be taken down, that the control of the borders is up to the federal government, not the states. It's a constitutional issue. And it was a 5-4 decision. Amy Coney Barrett voted with the majority. And there were no statements made that meant anything to me at the time. But I'll tell you this. I keep thinking about, all right, so let them have that there. And immediately went in and started using bulldozers to plow off some of the razor wire so immigrants, illegals, can get in or under as they lifted the fence. There are a lot of ranches that border our border, and what's to keep the ranchers from all getting together and say, I want to start stringing that across southern part of my ranch? In fact, all of the land north of the actual border as established by the U.S. is privately owned. They could just start stringing their own wire on their own land. You going to tell me you can stop that? No, that won't work. The better thing for the court to do is, we're going to put this on hold till we get into more detail. But if you're asking strictly, is the state or the U.S. responsible for our border, it would be the U.S. But they're failing. In fact, they haven't been bothering with it. In a recent noisy gathering, I would have played the sound, but you couldn't make anything out of it. Biden admitted the border issue needs to be resolved. But not really. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy had his unique perspective on Biden's vague statement and yesterday's court ruling.
President Biden now says, finally, that he wants to secure the border. And he says he's working with us on drafting a bill to change the law. I'm not sure we need to change the law. I think President Biden can do it on his own. By executive order, but we're willing to change the law, and he says he wants to, but he keeps fighting us every step of the way. And I believe now more than ever that two things, that President Biden and many of my Democratic colleagues believe in open borders. And number two, I think it's time for the American people to wake up and smell the incompetence. If the White House... How can I put this? If the White House were a football team and performed like this, we would have already fired the coach, the athletic director, and the mascot. And it just keeps, Americans want better, and it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, and you could smell the incompetence. It smells like, with all due respect to my farmer friends who raise cattle and pigs, it smells like that kind of incompetence, but that's actually something being accomplished, believe it or not. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas obviously had a reaction to them lifting the razor wire.
This decision makes me angry, and even more angry is listening to Joe Biden just flat out lie. And he knows he's lying, although actually, given his mental condition, maybe he doesn't know he's lying. But anyone rational that was aware of the world around him would know that he was lying. He says the border hadn't been secure for 10 years and just give me the money. Well, you know what? When Joe Biden became president 3 years ago, He inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. We had made incredible progress securing the border, and Joe Biden deliberately, systematically dismantled it. And if you look at the numbers, we went from the lowest rate in 45 years to right now today, the highest rate of illegal immigration in history ever. 9.6 million illegal immigrants have come in under Joe Biden.
And that is 9.6 million we know of. Now, Florida Senator Marco Rubio also agreeing. The border has got to be shut down. We don't need more laws. Just deal with what we've got.
The laws have not changed from the time Trump was president to the time Biden became president. What changed was the way the law was applied and executed. The same laws, Trump had the same laws as Biden, but Trump did not allow people and discourage people from coming. And we detained people and we deported people and we forced people to remain in Mexico. Biden, on day one, said, I'm getting rid of all the Trump policies. In essence, they're not following the laws that exist now. They're not using their enforcement tools now. So what leads us to believe that no matter what law you pass, they're actually going to do any of the things you agreed to? All these things do is it allows an administration to do something, but it doesn't mean they're going to do it. So if they're willing to go to the Supreme Court to fight against border security, what makes you think they're going to adhere by any legislative deal that's done on border security? They're going to take the legislation and say, well, yes, that's an option, but not pursue it because they're not interested in border security.
No, they're not. They are doing what, in baseball terms, you would accuse a pitcher of balking, acting like he's going to throw a pitch, but he didn't. Balk. Back to Texas Senator Ted Cruz. He said, here's what Biden really does want.
9.6 million illegal immigrants have come in under Joe Biden. And here's the thing to understand. He's not unhappy about that. He doesn't want to solve it. He doesn't want to prevent it. He wants more. It was a deliberate decision. And when he asked for more money, it's not more money to build a wall. It's not more money to secure the border. He wants more money to process illegal immigrants faster, to move even more of them into every city in America. He wants to take that 9.6 million and make it 20 million, make it 30 million, make it 40 million. It is an invasion, and Texas is bearing the brunt, but every community in America is paying the price.
And to that extent, it is an invasion, which this government should be stopping. And you ask Biden, well, what do you need? Money. I need more money. Money, thinks, in their opinion, will solve everything. No, it doesn't. And especially when it's not wisely spent. Because then you're going to need more money. Cruz is correct in the sense that this is what Biden wanted. So is Louisiana Senator Kennedy. They don't really want to work with this. So say they will, but wink, wink, nod, nod, they don't. Coming up in the next hour, a new book claiming who Biden really wanted to be his vice president. And why that didn't happen, and what it could cause going forward. That's in the next hour. And later in this hour, the ignorance of some who are anti-Semitic on full display at the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. And before we close this hour, a song that if you were driving might have you pull over and just start dancing, or at least singing loudly in your car and people will be looking at you. You just point the radio and say, Larry Connors, USA. Anyway, that'll be coming up before we wrap up this hour. Oh, but up next, Dr. Fake claims his memory card regarding COVID is empty. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know. Down, down on my knees and begging at feet to learn a little bit more. All that woman taught me to pray. I saw heaven every day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I do not recall at all. I don't recall.
Listen, that collection of bites from Dr. Fake from a deposition taken a couple of years ago, we could go on for another 6 minutes, and that's all you're really going to hear. I don't recall. He was talking in this deposition about the early days of COVID and asked, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? I don't recall. Now, here's the beauty of I don't recall with your COVID memory card blank. They can't catch you in perjury. You can't perjurize someone if they, I don't recall. How are you going to prove they do? And they're thinking, they already know the answer, but they're saying, I don't recall. Well, joining us to break this down, and not only this one, but a more recent episode of Dr. Fake saying, I don't recall, is Robert Moffitt, Heritage Policy Health Expert. Robert, welcome aboard again, sir.
Oh, thank you very, very much, Larry. It's great to be with you.
Was that not funny as all get out over 174 times 2 years ago? And in a more recent testimony in 2 days over January 8th and 9th, he did the same thing over and over. I don't recall.
Yeah. It was actually the first day's testimony was he did not recall 100 times. I haven't seen any language or any reports indicating what happened on the second day, but some of my friends on the Hill have told me that there was a repeat of a lot of this I don't recall. So what's happened here is that the chief public health officer during the greatest single national medical emergency since the 1918 flu cannot remember key facts about his role and the role of his agency and other matters that were directly under his jurisdiction, in the COVID-19 crisis. It is really quite remarkable. And I will just tell you, I don't see how Anthony Fauci can raise his right hand in sworn testimony in a public hearing and just repeat over and over again that he does not recall, in response to legitimate questions, how his reputation could possibly survive that would be an incredible mystery to me.
Well, two things there, Bob, if you don't mind. When you said he raised his right hand on the and then with the left hand on the Bible, saying, you know, he had made a statement not too long ago that he said, I'm not particularly religious. I don't have anything against it, but, you know, I believe in my own moral integrity.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he publicly flushed his Catholic faith down the toilet, which is horror. You know, again, I don't want to get into his, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, that is something that's not within our...
No, it's not. But we're talking about character and moral compass.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I know. I mean, it is a problem. I mean, it's an indication, you know. You know, to be very frank, if you're a Catholic, don't act like a hypocrite, you know.
And that's true for all of us. And we're all sinners. We're all sinners anyway. But back to the COVID thing. Exactly. How do you compare the I don't recall to compare to when he was in front of the hearing and Rand Paul was questioning him and he was vehemently, you don't know what you're talking about, Senator Rand Paul.
Right. Right. And I think that the problem here, as you know, as the chairman of the select subcommittee of the House, Brad Wenstrup, an absolutely fantastic member of Congress, by the way, Wenstrup, you know, basically made the point that when he was asked questions about whether the Chinese gain of function research was being financed at all, you know, with American taxpayers' money, he restated the position that, in fact, you know, that, you know, there was no, that we did not fund that kind of research. Francis Collins also stated the same thing. But what Wenstrup said, and I thought that was pretty interesting, what Wenstrup said was what he thought, based on what Fauci was saying in the deposition or the closed door session, was that Fauci was playing word games.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing antics with the definition of gain of function, that there's more than one way to define gain of function. Now, historically, the NIH has held that gain of function research is any experimental research that increases the power of a pathogen, making it more virulent or increasing its transmissibility. Apparently, they're operating on a different definition.
Well, this whole administration does that. Go ahead. Add your other point. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that the only thing is, though, is that that kind of response is transparently childish. And now, either the Chinese were, you know, either we were or we were not financing this gain of function. And, you know, the definition, of course, is important, but the point is, once again, you know, if you're going to play word games in front of Congress, they can do it in depositions, I guess, in executive session. But this is going to be a very unpleasant experience if Fauci or Collins have to sort of replay this act in public.
Oh, they have no problem, though, with taking the fifth, or I don't recall. Now the other thing here is that like for instance, Fauci was, as you said, denying we had anything to do with it, and yet, you know, knowing and the question was raised at one point, Louisiana Senator Kennedy said, how do you know? He said, well, the Chinese tell us it. So you think they wouldn't lie to you? I mean, he couldn't even answer that one. Well, we've worked with them for years. We're sure they're honest with us. You're talking to the Chinese Communist government. And I don't think they're going to be truthful. period.
No, of course not. Nobody believes that. I mean, I don't even think Joe Biden believes it. No, the fact of the matter is, one thing that's absolutely clear, and as far as I know, everybody, including the World Health Organization, recognizes that the Chinese have actually been very dishonest in their response to this entire situation. And one of the key facts is that in January, early January, January 3rd to be exact, of 2020, they shut down all communication with the outside world that was not approved by the Chinese Communist government. So, you know, there was absolutely no way that we could make a head or tail of anything that they were saying. And the other important point is, damn it, is that the virologist that Fauci discussed this information with changed their minds about whether or not the coronavirus was natural or whether it was a product of a laboratory. They initially took a position in a telephone call with Fauci on February 1st, 2020. Most of them thought that this virus came out of a laboratory. Not all of them did, but most of them did. And then, you know, within about 4 or 5 days later, they changed their mind entirely.
Yeah, they all signed off on a letter saying, no, it probably wet market or something like that. And they kept saying, follow the science. And Fauci even recently admitted the social distancing marks that would be on the floor that you must stay 6 feet from me. He said that was not based on science. So follow the science, but we're giving you stuff that's not based on science.
Yeah, it was based on nothing.
Yeah.
That they produced. Well, I'm like, well,
roll the dice. Roll the dice, Robert. It's going to come up 6 or 8 or 4 or 2. That'll be your distancing.
Yeah, well, and Collins basically confirmed what Fauci said, that the 6 foot rule was not grounded in any kind of scientific data. I mean, what was incredible is that in Fauci's response to the inquiries in this executive session, when they asked him, where did this come from? He said, it sort of just appeared.
All right. Very, very quick. Yeah. Very quickly. I do agree that I'm sorry. In the last minute we've got, I do agree that we do need to have some of this kind of experimentation to prepare for any country that weaponizes something like this against us. But you don't have your enemy do it for you and give you the results and help pay for it. Your final thoughts, sir.
Well, I think the thing that we've learned about this is that we have got to have much better biomedical security over our grants. One of the things that came out of that executive session with Congress this past a couple of weeks ago was that, you know, our oversight over some of these grants, especially the grants overseas, has been very poor. And that's something that the Department of Health and Human Services told us a couple of years ago. The Inspector General, who looked into the NIH grant making process, saying that the oversight was really substandard. Well, we can't afford that.
We can't afford not to either, can we? Robert Moffitt with Heritage Policy, Health Policy, and I appreciate very much, as always, your time, sir.
Oh, thank you very, very much, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Coming up, a tragedy involving the Israeli Defense Forces, a tragedy of their own making.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beal based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com, locally owned.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
How would you gauge the measure of success we had on the targets in Yemen on behalf of the Houthi rebels? Because they have been undeterred, General.
Yeah, I think that was a comprehensive attack, something that was long overdue. They did the bomb damage assessment and came back in a re-attack and really only went after one target, which tells you that likely the bomb damage assessment told them they did a pretty good job, to be frank. But what we need to do is keep on top of them. That's the issue here. And you had the key word here. We have not deterred them. We have to return to deterrence in the Middle East.
We have to use deterrence in the Middle East. To quote him again, retired four-star Army General Jack King on Fox News. He was talking about once we did decide to start striking the targets in Yemen, where the Houthi rebels were firing upon merchant ships in the Red Sea or the Gulf of Aden, and not just merchant ships, whatever they took to be a target, which could have been a U.S. Navy ship. Thank God they hadn't hit any. Our Navy has knocked down numerous drones and rockets, as has our allied forces, the UK, I should say, has been involved. But it's at a point where you just need one to get through occasionally. But the general thought that at least we are showing some spine and backbone. Attacking Yemen directly, which obviously has Yemen upset, and the Houthi rebels are running Yemen, just like Hamas was running Gaza. So they can yell and shout about international law all they want. You're invading our sovereign territory by hitting. Well, then you boot your rebels out of the area. We won't be coming in there. Well, they're not going to do that because, again, the rebels are controlling the country of Yemen. Same thing with Hamas in Gaza. I'd mentioned going into the break that we had a tragedy that actually was the deadliest day for the Israeli troops since they began the war with Hamas. 24 Israeli soldiers were killed in southern Gaza yesterday. 21 of them died in just one incident. They were apparently removing structures and terrorist infrastructure. A rocket-propelled grenade was fired towards a tank protecting the soldiers as they were doing this, basically trying to clear out an enclave and maybe a terrorist hiding spot, gathering up their munitions, their weapons, looking for maybe hostages and or dead hostages and or dead civilians and terrorists as well. But when that RPG was fired at the tank protecting the unit, there was such a massive explosion that two-story buildings collapsed. And they believe it might have actually been because the Israeli troops had already lined the buildings with explosives. They were going to bring them down anyway, but obviously in a controlled fashion. But when the tank was hit, the resulting explosion from that triggered the explosions the IDF had put inside these two tall towers. The two soldiers in the tank were killed, but most of those killed were either in or near the buildings. One was a captain, two majors, all killed. And I'm looking at a piece here as written by CNN, saying the tank attack came as Israel seemingly shifts into a new phase of fighting in the embattled enclave, with the IDF pulling out some soldiers from Gaza and officials promising a less intense, more targeted approach. That's not a ceasefire. We got a lot of folks out there yelling, ceasefire, ceasefire. It's not a ceasefire. They're just redirecting some of it, according to this report from CNN. Now, since October 7, the number of Palestinians killed, 25,000. 25,000. 63,000 injuries. And some might well be fatal before it's over with. And out of that 25,000 and the 63,000, no doubt women and children that had nothing to do with Hamas, and maybe men as well, but they would not have been in that danger. I cannot stress it enough. They would not have been in that danger if these cowards of Hamas were not hiding under baby beds and inside hospitals and relief centers while still attacking Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is facing, of course, increasing political pressure on multiple fronts, saying the deaths of the soldiers yesterday represented, quote, one of the most difficult days since the outbreak of the war. He added, I mourn for our fallen heroic soldiers. I hug the families in their time of need. We all pray for the peace of our wounded. And he said, we are investigating it, and at this time, officially, they're saying it's not clear what happened, but most everything indicates that they had already lined and prepared to bring down those buildings, and when the RPG hit the tank, causing it to explode, killing those inside the tank, it in turn set off the explosives ready to go in the building. Houthi rebels are following the lead of Hamas. Hezbollah has been doing the same on firing into Israel. The Houthi rebels, of course, shooting at ships in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, and also occasionally lobbing something toward Israel. And the retired four-star General Jack King has been stating clearly from the beginning, we're going to have a really dedicated effort to go after Iran one way or the other and their proxies. We can't just kind of do a little bit here and a little bit there. We're gonna have to deliver them a punch that they cannot and will not forget.
You see that the United States Navy is interrupting the flow of arms, rockets, and missiles to Yemen. That is something we have done periodically. I'm hoping this is an indication that this is going to be an aggressive campaign, that we're going to go after it with a significant amount of resources, and likely those two Navy SEALs who were lost at sea were also participating in an operation to disrupt it. The Israelis, by comparison, have conducted over 200-plus air attacks in Syria to stop the transmission of rockets and missiles from Iran to Lebanon and the Hezbollah. This is a very important dimension. But finally, Bill, what we really need to come to grips with, and we've said it before, Iran is the center of gravity here. Iran doesn't care how many rockets and missiles we destroy in Yemen. They will just give them more. Iran further doesn't care how many of the Houthi rebels we kill, because they know they're a radicalized group and they'll get new members.
They will. Very easy for them. Sometimes they're coerced into becoming a member of Hamas. If you don't join us, if you don't serve on the lines where we tell you, your mother, your child, your dog, everything will be wiped out. So they don't always join out of ambition and desire. They're stuck in a place where they can't fight back. Of course, we continue to hear anti-Semitic slurs and calls for genocide in this country regarding the Jews and the population of Israel and Jews everywhere. Poison Ivy League presidents, obviously, recently in Congress, admitting they are guilty, at least, of allowing that kind of stuff to happen on campuses. But they want to take it to context. No, the issue is many, while shouting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they have no understanding of what they're saying. In fact, they are ignorant of what they're saying. I want you to hear, as it's documented on a Twitter account of Noah Tisby, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Hate, anti-Semitism made its way to Sundance Film Festival, where people are calling for a ceasefire now, which is exactly what we had on October 6th before Hamas slaughtered all these Jews.
From the river to the sea, Palestine needs to be free from the occupation, which is illegal.
What's the river?
I forgot the river's name. But the sea is the Red Sea.
So where is the river and the sea that everybody's chanting about?
I think it's the Black Sea and the river on the other side of Gaza.
Okay, so it's the Black Sea and the river on the other side of Gaza.
The Palestinian genocide, it's just awful.
What about the hostages? Do you know about the hostages?
Unfortunately, I'm not that educated about that part.
The occupation is illegal. Even chocolate is not allowed. Wedding dresses are not allowed. It's been this way for over 15 years.
It's a genocide. It's not about Hamas. It's not.
How is it not about Hamas?
It's not about Hamas isn't even there.
Isn't where? Hamas isn't where?
Even Gaza.
Hamas is not in Gaza. The Jews are in Gaza.
The Jews?
Are there hostages in Gaza right now?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I got this from someone else.
Somebody gave it to you?
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
No.
Like, what are you demonstrating for or against?
Against the occupation of Palestine.
So support for the Black Sea to the other river to be liberated.
To be liberated from the occupation.
Does Israel have the right to exist at all?
I think the state of Israel should be dissolved.
So do you know what happened to women on October 7th?
I've heard things. I've also heard that they're not confirmed.
Not confirmed? The rape incidences are not confirmed?
I'm not sure.
What about the hostages?
Fire, no!
Are there any hostages?
Fire, no!
So this is it. A demonstration at Sundance Film Festival calling for the genocide of Jews. As you can see, some of the people don't even know what it is that they're talking about. Our youth have been poisoned to such a level that blatant anti-Semitism is allowed. And it's just unfortunate. So We're all calling for freedom in the region. This is not the way to do it.
That, again, was a piece done at Sundance, Utah, by on a Twitter account by Noah Tisby. Now, I want you to understand something about Noah Tisby. First of all, this is a 40th Sundance Festival, but he had all these folks out there protesting and everything and trying to claim that, you know, the Jews were in the wrong, but they don't even know what the facts are. From the river to the sea, what river? I don't know. The sea, the Red Sea, no. There were no rapes? Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that confirmed. What about the hostages? I don't know anything about that. If you don't know what the hell you're saying and doing and you can back it up, get your butt back into your house or your room and just sit and eat Cheetos. By the way, Noah Tisby is a former special envoy for combating anti-Semitism and the legitimization of Israel. That's the way she identifies herself on Twitter. A mom, an author, acting, producing. Some are claiming that the Israeli government is using her to spread false propaganda. I don't know if she gets any money from Israel. I could care less. There's nothing wrong with it. I do know this. She didn't make those folks at the Sundance Film Festival look stupid. She didn't do that. They did that all by themselves, didn't they? Yeah, they did without any difficulty whatsoever. And it did shut down the main street at the Sundance Film Festival for its 40th event. One of those honored in the past at the Jewish Film Festival, Norman Jewison, Canadian film and TV director, received numerous feature film awards, nominated for the Academy Award for Best Director in 3 separate decades, died last night at the age of 97. You may not have known him as to which ones he actually directed, but if I name them, you're going to know them. The Thomas Crown Affair, if you haven't seen it, outstanding. Moonstruck, that was the one with Cher, Nicolas Cage, again an amazing movie. First time I'd seen Nicolas Cage, I was totally fascinated by his ability. In the Heat of the Night, Rod Steiger and Sidney Poitier talking about basically a black man as a lawman helping a white sheriff supposedly solve a racial crime. He often took on numerous things that trying to raise awareness and deal with them. And then there was another movie that was released in 1971. Not but you know that.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. If I were a bitty-bitty-rich, idle-diddle-diddle-diddle-man, I'd build a big tall house with the rooms by the dozen right in the middle of the town. If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. All day long, I bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan? If I were a wealthy man.
Wow, one of the most fascinating parts of Fiddler on the Roof. That was the character Tavier, played by Haim Topi. And again, directed by Norm Jewison, who was not Jewish. He was Protestant. Next hour, why did Biden choose Kamala? Remember our pledge.